You know how I love to do series. Yes, it just makes a minister's life a lot easier. Well, I bet you can guess what series we're doing this time around. Yes, Lent. Yeah, see, that's what I've been getting from everyone. Lent, oh, yeah, yeah. And I think I can tell probably the Catholics from anyone else based on how they go, we're doing Lent. Aren't we in unity? Why are we doing Lent? And by the way, why are you doing a class on Lent? Just don't get it. Well, because like everything, Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore created based off the traditions of Christianity. Actually, in many ways, depending on which minister you talk to and what church you talk to, unity is considered Christian. And then in other communities, it isn't. And most traditional Orthodox Christian religions were not. So that makes you feel better. And I will tell you, like everything else, Lent is treated differently. But first, a little bit of history about Lent. You know, did you guys know that it was based off of an Anglo-Saxon word meaning spring? And that the root of it means lengthen? Which makes sense. You know, 40 days, oh my goodness, of preparation, preparing yourself for what? Well, in the Orthodox religion, it's preparing yourself and making yourself anew and wonderful for the Easter event and to make yourself worthy of the crucifixion of Jesus. And so we spend the time in Lent to repent from our sins. I know I use the R and the S word here. Repent and sin. And even though you wouldn't find those words in a great many unity ministries, I choose to bring them up. Why? Because these words don't have power over us. We choose to have power over us, let them have power over us. Many priests and other ministers have made them seem like they have power over us, but I use them to say no. And Charles Fillmore used them quite a bit. So we've said this before, what does repent mean? To change your way. That's all it means, to change your mind, to change your way. Now, is that bad to repent? And what do we repent from? What are we changing our minds from? Our sinning. Our sinning, 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 sinning. You sinners. And ultimately, we find out that sinning, whether is in traditional Christianity, and a lot of ministers don't tell you this, but they learn this, as well as in unity, sinning just means missing the mark. It's an archery term, meaning missing the mark. In other words, we've made a mistake. That's all sinning means, is that we've made a mistake. I don't know how many of you made a mistake lately. Sinning, 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 sinning. But when you think, but when you bring it in the context of sinning, it's just making a mistake, making, taking and seeing that you have erroneous thinking, all of a sudden the word sinning isn't as bad, is it? And ultimately you can accept that, yeah, I've done it. And it doesn't make me a bad person. It makes me human because I make mistakes. And so ultimately, Lent is there so that you can see the erroneous thinking that you're doing and choose to change your mind about it. Not bad, right? So thinking maybe a little bit about embracing Lent for these 40 days? Okay, I'm working on you. I'll continue to work on you. Because ultimately, it is asking, unity, I do believe, is asking something more for you to go deeper. Because the erroneous thinking, in many ways, is harder to give up than pork or any material thing. I mean, we can moan and groan, oh, I won't watch Masterpiece Theater, or I won't do, I shows you what I give up. I won't give up, I'll give up this for the 40 days to cleanse my body. That's easy. What did someone say? Yeah. I still don't understand it, but whatever she's giving up, yes, that. But it's much harder. Harder to give up erroneous thinking. It's much harder to give up those things that we've kept inside of us, that we believe is a part of us. To forge into our consciousness, now Unity thinks of the consciousness of all the things we've thought and felt, compressed and brought into our thinking for today. It's what our thoughts and our feelings come up to manifest in the world. And it includes what is called the subconscious, which is the warehouse, where all those thoughts and feelings are stored. It's something, I like the imagery of a warehouse. You know, I think I've said this before. I imagine in my consciousness, it's kind of like the X-Files or something. Or, you know, you go into a secret service area. It's hidden way, way, way down in the basement. And the elevator opens. And infinite, just rows and rows and rows of storage area in a dark, dingy area. That shows you what kind of lack of thinking I had. What kind of stuff and erroneous thinking I have to keep clearing out. And the light comes on. And this was my growth at some point in time. It'd be a fluorescent light that would barely pour lighting. No. The more you clear out your consciousness, the better the lighting is, the better your life becomes. Lent is there to prepare you, yes, for the crucifixion. Spoiler alert. If any of you who have traveled to Unity Ministry, you will never find a crucifixion. Never, ever, 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 ever. Or you're in a different kind of Unity church that isn't part of Unity. Because Unity doesn't deal with the preparing ourselves for the hurt and the pain that Jesus sacrificed his life for our sins in that way. But you will see a cross. Because the cross is the last representation of crossing out your erroneous thinking. And ultimately, that's the spoiler alert, that's what Easter is all about. And so the Lenten season is the preparation for you to get ready to be able to release and let go of that erroneous thinking, to be able to cross it out so that you can prepare for what? All the above, but predominantly for the resurrection. For your resurrection. For you remembering that you are the beloved son and daughter of whom God is completely pleased with. We keep talking about how we are all the Christ. Well, there's ways in which we can get to that. Ways that we continually, things that we continually do. And Lent is the best way to move through that. And 40 is a magic number of completion. And so where we're going to start was with a story, because I have to tell on myself. As I'm going through, you know, I'm doing a Keep It True Lent class. And I'm doing all the Sunday service until we get to Easter based on Lent. And I had to laugh at myself based on what I thought Lent was. L-I-N-T versus L-E-N-T as a child. I couldn't quite figure out what the big deal was with L-I-N-T. I mean, I dig in my pockets as a kid, and I get some gook and some hair and some candy pieces. And I go, what's so holy about this? And what are we celebrating this for? I really didn't get it. And man, why do you burn it and put it with a dot on your head? I just didn't get it. I get it now. Obviously, you know, I wasn't Catholic. It was obvious I wasn't Catholic. I misspoke at the 9 o'clock service. I didn't go to Catholic school until 8th grade, 8th through high school. I finally got it after that. But man, I was a confused little girl for a while. And I refused to think that the lint in my pocket had anything to do with anything. But I will say that the lint in your pocket can correspond to the lint in your consciousness. It is the offshoot in the grime and the dirt that kind of slimes away from something substantial. It's that residue that is in the back of your consciousness that piles up and you want to get rid of it. That's what Lent is all about. Again, Lent is about spring. I also want you to get the vision, even though today is really cold. Let's go back to last week, last couple of weeks, of 70 and 60 degrees. When the days become longer, the light becomes brighter. And and you can see it out here in the garden where the plants edge through and fight through the soil and the ook so that they can expose themselves to the light, so they can rise and blossom into the beautiful colors and the beautiful plants that they're supposed to be. We too, with Lent, are that beautiful flower that need to emerge from the soot and the soil of our consciousness so that we too can rise to the truth of who we are, the beauty that we are truly meant to be, that beautiful Christ itself, and ultimately the knowing, the ultimate knowing, stair-stepping, that we, if God and I are one, that ultimately we are God, manifested individually. But until then, we have some work to do. And I wish I had a better Ricky Ricardo accent, or I go, Lucy, we have work to do. And so, how do we start this off? By the altar. Now, anyone who's taken the class and you're hopefully meditating each day, you know that today's meditation is on the altar. And the altar is a great start because ultimately, and I think we know what the altar is, especially in religion, it is that exalted place, that high place. I mean, at 6 o'clock, the altar is really jamming. Roger really gets it going. We'll work on this altar. But it's a place where we go to cast our prayers, to commune with God. In history, the altar was a place that was of sacrifice. Actually, it's disputed, actually, the root or the origin of the word. But the altar is deemed to think that it was it was Latin for ritual burning. Or let it burn. Let it burn. So we're going to talk about not just the physical altar. We're going to talk about how we can make our own selves an altar. Because ultimately, in unity, it is about us. But first of all, just a little bit of history. I find it interesting that through history, especially in the various pagan religions, as well as the birthing of Christianity and in the Jewish religion, as people were going and traveling, before they made the city, they created the altar first. They created the altar first to sanctify, to make present a place of God where communion was happening automatically, even before the place was built. That's why I believe that unity chose this component of creating an altar. And if you're like me, I have about 3 different altars in my home. I think that's beautiful and great. I think we all should have an altar, a place where we go to. And you decorate it however you want to, but it's a place and a space, just you, where you have your communion with God. Now, of course, I believe that we communicate with God each and every day, each and every moment. But this is a sacred place and a sacred space for a particular reason. To make sure that your home and your space is fully sanctified. And truly, it isn't about God changing or doing anything. It's really a changing of our own consciousness. It's about us opening ourselves up and opening our homes to the space and place. And realizing that this, not only this one little area, this one little area grows and expands the more we use it. So too, like in the physical altar, metaphysically, the altar means that we are making our own selves an altar for the Spirit of God to move in and through, so that we can be a conduit of God moving in, through, and as our life. But the only way we can do that, because God is knocking on the door, trying to open up the window, but God is not going to force its way in. The only way God can be in is for you to want God to be in there and to make room for God to be within your being and to create a wonderful life. And the way you do that is to make yourself an altar, to make yourself a sacrifice for God. Now, everyone's like, "Ooh, make yourself a sacrifice, dead offerings." Yes. I am saying lay in the fire yourself as an offering. More specifically, lay at the altar your erroneous thinking. Lay in the altar any dark thoughts. Lay in the altar any symbolic animal instincts that continue to keep you pressed in hell. Ooh, she even used the H word. She's really getting traditional today. And we all find that we are at some point in time in our lives in that symbolic hell, which is another form of purification, but we don't have to be there. And let me tell you something else. We don't have to stay there. We have been taught that once you get to that hellacious place, that's where you're going to be for eternity, only if you so choose to be. Truly, that place is there for a lesson. And it's an inferno for you to dump your garbage, dump your junk, dump your stuff, dump your erroneous thinking, turn around and leave. Dump your stuff in the fire. Dump your erroneous thinking. Turn around and leave. Unfortunately, we are so stuck in our erroneous thinking that we don't even know that we're going down until we find ourselves in the depths of pain and hurt and these hellacious experiences. We've all been there. We all think we're doomed. No. Rise up. Just like the flower rising up from the depths of the soil, from the depths of the dirt, who can't see the light but knows it's up there because it senses it. There's a vibration that's calling it higher. Just like the flowers, the annuals, you too are flowers. Is there any muck and mire that you find your way in? Put it into the fire and rise up to the vibration of God that is calling you higher, of God that wants to use you. Make yourself a sacrifice. Sacrificing those erroneous thoughts so that you too can then take that fire as an altar, and burn with a passion. Burn with a passion of wanting to know God even deeper. This fire in the altar, whether it's a candle or a hearth or whatever it is, whatever you choose it to be, this fire is also a call for passion, for action. For the more passionately you want to know God, the more passionately that you are all right with greatness, and good to utilize you from head to toe, the more easily you can put in the fire the erroneous thinking. The more life turns great. And even though we are in this world, we don't have to be of the world. Because stuff happens all around us. And all of a sudden, the more we have this passion to know whatever is happening around us in this world, it will soon not affect us as greatly because we have a higher want. We have a higher calling. And it is to be that which we are born to be, the Christ and the truth, the beloved of God. And we at some point in time allow the light of the fire as the daily word become our divine guide. That once we get rid of all that erroneous thinking of the me and I and only me and I and my pain and my sorrow and me, I, you'll be able to hear God saying, beloved, do this. Beloved, to get out of the desert, go this way. Beloved, to live a life in heaven, do this. And we will no longer fight with divine that only wants the best for us. We'll say, yes, show me the way. I will do it. Go through me. Use me. I am a conduit. I have sacrificed myself. I am the altar of which only greatness has and will be a part of. Also a part of the altar, which I love, the altar was believed to be that sacred place where man and God always came together. Within you, within your body temple, there's a sacred place. In each and every one of you, in me, us, it's a sacred place where the altar lies. It's up to us to find it. And that is what we're here to do in Lent, and this is the start. Realize that the altar is within you and start the work. Start preparing yourself by doing, yes, what can seem to be the hard work. It's the excavation of the subconsciousness, going into that tunnel or that basement or wherever you visualize your subconsciousness. Open the drawers, open the doors, open the closets, and let the light come in. Clear out the cobwebs, the lint, L-I-N-T. Take a wheelbarrow, take whatever it is you need to get it over to the fire and burn. Start burning the erroneous thinking. And I have to warn you, once you start burning some of it, more will come up. And that's a good thing. My mom always says, it's just peeling an onion. You just get deeper into it. Peel the onion. Excavate your own consciousness. And don't be afraid. Like the root of this word, let it burn. Let it burn in a positive way. Why? To make room for greatness. For make room for the light. Don't be afraid of the burning. Don't be afraid of the fire. Allow the fire to be used in the appropriate way. Pray constantly. I invite you, if you don't have an altar, find a quiet place in a space and ask God, how and what do I need to create for better communication between you and me? If you don't hear it, just create something that feels good. And go into that place and that space on a daily basis so that will help you to then go into your own altar and to create your own altar. And while you're there, deny what is, which is the burning of the erroneous thinking, and take with you a wonderful affirmation. Take with you an affirmation of knowing the truth of yourself, that you are the beloved. And if you are having issues finding an affirmation, I invite you to use the one in your bulletin. Sit back, relax, let me read this to you, and then the second time, let's say it together, all right? Just feel the vibration. I am blessed with God's gentle, loving presence. I now willingly turn my life over to God with complete assurance that my needs are met. Let's say that together. I am blessed with God's gentle, loving presence. I now willingly turn my life over to God with complete assurance that my needs are met. Your needs are met, beloved. God bless you all. Thank you.